Hi, my name is Marcy Hill, and I am here with Miss Claudette Reddick, who is one of the servant leaders of the Deborah movement. So, Miss Claudette, how are you today?
I am very well, thank you, Marcy.
Well, that's excellent. Miss Claudette, can you tell me about the Deborah movement, what it is, and when it began, and why it began?
Okay, well, the Deborahs are a group of women who decided enough is enough in the community. We began last April 2010 after the weekend, I believe, when there were about 50 shootings in our communities. And we just kind of gathered at the Black Star Project. It was called out from Philip Jackson, the director of the Black Star Project, to neighbors, let's gather, let's march to the police station. And that's what we did. The very first meeting, we sat and talked for only a short while, and the women who had gathered, perhaps about 35 to 50 women, just out of the blue, we marched down to the new police district headquarters. And at that time, Jody Weiss was superintendent. We had put together our demands that he include us in their policing the community. Those deaths had been so great, they were at that point in time considering bringing National Guards to our communities. And we, the women, just felt that any decisions to that extent needed to include us. So the Deborahs were born around that particular movement. We have met periodically from that point in time, following many episodes of violence in our community. We've got Deborahs from the north, south, east, west, and suburban communities in the Chicagoland area. And I think we have overall about from 6 to 8 chapters that are outside of the Chicagoland area, with our most recent outside chapter being from the Atlanta, Georgia area.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah. And then far away in South Africa, too, we have a chapter. They literally just write and pray with us as we, you know, take on different community movements to see that, you know, we have the support around the world to change this. We know that spirit is what will make a difference. And in fact, the Deborahs came out of the Judges 4 and 8, where Barack was telling to Deborah that, you know, the first judge, woman judge, she exercised a lot of leadership and ability. But she told Barack she would go with him, you know, if he decided to go. And that, I think, exemplifies our desire to include the men. We, of course, all know there's more we can all do. And the Deborahs in no way want to shut out any male support and encouragement. And so oftentimes our marches, our walks, our prayers include a great number of men from the different communities.
Wonderful. So how many active members do you think you have? Because I know you say you have so many chapters, but...
Right. Each chapter is only supposed to have 10 to get started. And that's because of the need to have a group that can handle communication, follow up, and be responsible for gathering people and recording information. So I would say presently the Deborahs are rather scattered, if you will, from our last year's endeavors. But last night we got to see maybe 60 or 70 women who have participated in different events. They, too, were enraged by the most recent shooting of the 13-year-old at 42nd and State. And they came out and prayed together and along with many other neighborhood community groups.
All righty. So how do you personally feel when you hear about the violent deaths of our young people?
Well, you know, I used to say, well, I've digested, I can, you know, intellectually handle this, but emotionally, I am broken inside. It's so tragic, and when I stop and really reflect on it, you know, it's where I have to really call on my spirituality to lift myself back up, that there is hope, that my people are not just shooting each other aimlessly, and so forth. And it affects me indirectly. I have a 31-year-old son who while he himself did not get shot, he witnessed the shooting of a roommate. Point blank, no explanation, and the trauma that he has gone through has propelled me to try and unite with other people who may be able to get through this pain. And, you know, with their children and themselves after having experienced so much horror in life.
So why did you decide to become one of the servant leaders?
I'm always a person who, if it needs to be done, let's do it. I believe that we can in so many ways, and we have all these talents and skills, and if we wait around for payment, et cetera, it may not occur, that change that we want. And I just jump right in and see where I can serve. I have no problem from sweeping floors to convening a meeting. So I just felt that I wanted to be in the company of other people who felt just their ordinary lives could make a difference. We could just show others that you can do something, you can do something. And I got in and got busy.
Alrighty. And about how many marches, unfortunately, have you guys attended, or prayer vigils have you held since the inception of the Deborah movement?
You know, I really don't have a final count on that. I know at one time we were just listing the number, and we had exceeded 40 different events. We had shown up, or Deborah was involved in terms of letting that particular community know that we were in support of them, and oftentimes as we went to these funerals, we were there for condolence and comfort for the families. So that exact number, I'm not certain of. It's gotten to be so many that I personally have had to resign myself. I'm not doing the funerals anymore. I will go and be of comfort. I, you know, work as a mentor through Women's Lifestyle programs at CBS High School. And so I want to give in a preventive state. I'm tired of chasing fires, if you will. You know, and other boys have chosen to continue to, you know, go directly to these events. I just choose not to anymore for the funerals. Too many of them.
Wow.
We could be at a funeral every day.
So how can the community support the Deborah movement?
The Deborahs, we, you know, of course, are servants. And so wherever you can serve, there's something everybody can do. We've asked the community, and we continue to ask the community, to come over to the Black Star Project office and see how you can lend a hand. If it's, you know, taking attendance at some event we've got, or we have many programs within the Black Star Project that support the family. So there's almost every day something going on, and that's how they can help. Get involved. Come on out. Get to know more people. See what you can do. So I think, you know, overall we've had great awareness within the community that the Deborahs are just women out here. We're sick of this. We want to change stuff. And so, you know, we do a lot of what we've done, because we're not presently doing, you know, bus stops, train stations, etc., just trying to get the word out.
And I did have a question that came to mind. Are many of the Deborahs parents?
Yes. I think that first core group might have had a lot of parents of the murder victims, children who have been slain. And at one time, you know, it was, for me, who had not experienced that same grief and pain, kind of overwhelming. These women, a year later or months later, still were in such distress. It was evident as though it just happened. So to see that, you know, your love never dies for that loved one, but that pain may exist for a long time. It's hard to, you know, envision. And another of the directions that the boys have gone into is to try to see if we can have some assistance or support groups for these hurting people, these hurting parents.
Okay. And what has been some of the support mechanisms that have been used?
Okay, our greatest has been that of prayer and meeting. What we found is that they just want to be with others who could understand, and you not have to explain how this is for you. We have, of course, a number of ministers within the Deborahs. Wonderful thing to see. So somebody can get to you, and then we have a lot of different religions too. So it's not just the Catholics or the Baptists, you know, but the Muslims, Hindus, even. We've had Asian women to come out with this. So we've offered something, I think, solace for any number of women.
Well, that's. It's great to know that such a service exists in the community. And did you have any other information that you would like to contribute to our interview as we come to a close?
Yes, only for the world to know that prayers without actions are really not the will of the Father. And He has asked us to get up. Yes, pray first, learn His way, etc. But you can do something personally to bring about a change. If it's just seeing the kids after school, you know, as we get these economic expressions in our communities, no more crossing guards or something, why can't you just go there and see the kids get across the street safely after school or before school? These are the kind of movements that make a difference in the quality of life within our communities. So the Deborahs don't define themselves by, you know, just one activity. There's so many issues. There are many things that we can do. And I think that's our greatest strength, is encouraging people that you can do something good. So we move to do that.
Well, Ms. Claudette, I thank you so much for your time to discuss the Deborah movement with me. And if you have anything, or if there is anything else that the community can do that can support you all in your endeavors, please let me know.
Okay. I'd like you to know also there's a wealth of visuals that the Black Star Project has to, I don't know how involved your project will be, but certainly you can contact Ms. Dorothy Davis there or Philip Jackson himself to get some of those visuals. I think they are impactful and an important part of the Deborah story.
Okay, I will look for some of those to include with our interview.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.